abi Shaul idi va idi beni sebep bakalara da man beni. Sitchi vikya bandisi bakalara fikke mi.
Oh mama, zuma zuma bakala. You know what bakala is? If you don't, you better start eating it. Well, unless you're a vegetarian, then you won't like bakala. So, here we are. Trends this week. Great being on Progressive Radio Network. And thank you, Gary Null, for having me and everyone listening. So, it's another week and another load of trends. Matter of fact, on the economic front, we are in very volatile territory. When you look what's going on in the markets, whether it's oil, gold, or the equity markets, it's shaking. And there's good reason for it, because of the great uncertainty that prevails. There's been no economic recovery. Those are the facts. I keep repeating them over and over again. 95% of the wealth created since 2009 has gone to the 1%. There's one thing that Occupy Wall Street did, and that is really great. They really put into focus the disparity that exists in this nation, once the land of opportunity, with bringing forth the 1% that not only controls the money, but controls so much of our lives by their influence in politics. You know, we have to stop using this word, I believe, calling people politicians. You know, that's a cover-up word. Why don't we call them low-life suck-ups, brown-nosers, glad-handers, overly ambitious and insincere? Maybe we could come up with a new word to call them that, rather than a more innocent word like politician. And then when you think of politician and politics, you know, we think about politically correct. And of course, there's nothing correct about anything political, so politically correct in itself is an oxymoron. Going back to the economy and the 1% and what Occupy Wall Street did, the 1% still gains the wealth of the world and the wealth of the nation. Again, we have 65 people have more wealth than half the world's population combined. So, as we're looking at the markets, they feel that as well. So, people are saying, well, you know, oil prices are going up now. Well, the oil prices is temporary as we see it. We had that, and still do have those fires up in Alberta, Canada, near the oil sands hub of Fort McMurray. And they just had to pull some oil workers away from that scene as well. So production is down. And then, by the way, when, you know, of course, you know, we're far away from Alberta, but the news that we get and what we're listening to is I'm watching these forest fires ravaging the area. And they have about 13 helicopters, you know. I'm saying to myself, 13 helicopters? That's it? Dumping water? Where's the rest of Canada there? You know, where's the government? Kind of sounds like the American government, doesn't it? Like Flint, Michigan. In other words, Canada is now patrolling with NATO in the Baltic Sea with their frigates. But yet, they can't bring enough help to help the little people. Because, again, it goes back to the 1%. It's a neo-feudal society. Only the elite are taken care of, treated differently. Different laws for them, for the economic elite and the political nobility. So they only take care of themselves. And by the way, that's not a cheap line that I just threw out. It's a fact. As we saw with Obama, backtrack Barack. Remember when he was running for his candidate Obama, he was going to bring those people on Wall Street folks to justice. and he hires a fraud, brings him in from the old Clinton administration. Eric Holder, who goes back to work with the white shoe boy firms now on Wall Street that protect the Wall Street criminals, makes him the attorney general. Not one head roll. You know, I have to tell you, too, I'm really tired of Obama calling us folks all the time. Folks. You know, folks. If folk, you. That's F-O-L-K, just to make it clear. It wasn't a curse word. It's talking down to us. The folks. All those little people out there. Every seven words out of this arrogant liar's mouth is folks. And boy, now he's going around the world cleaning up his act. Yep. Trying to make him seem like a man of peace. A piece of garbage. A liar. A Peace Prize winner. A piece of crap Nobel Peace Prize. That's what they should call it. New York Times just did a whitewash story on him over the weekend about his wars going on and making it seem like he's just a victim of it. For president, two full terms of fighting wars, and they make it seem as though he never wanted to do it. Oh, it was just circumstances, folks. Yeah, you know the lines that came from that book that he never denied, that on Terror Tuesday when they're planning these drone strikes, he said, I'm really good at killing people. Anyway, going back to the economy, and I'll get back to this later, with Obama bringing in Holder and Mike saying that it's not a cheap line to say it's a neo-feudal society, not one head rolled on Wall Street. And they're still raping us and ravaging us. Particularly the central banks with the Federal Reserve with their near 0% interest rates. People can't save money anymore. We have no place to put it. So the only thing it's done is fuel the equity markets. But guess what? Folks, it hasn't worked. Because when you look at the equity markets, and you look read our latest Trends Journal, which just came out, that you're not going to want to miss if you want to read history before it happens, the central bankers built an economic time bomb. You go to our website, trendsresearch.com, and you see the cover of the Trends Journal. Great illustration by that wonderful illustrator, Anthony Frieda. And it's not only the United States where they built this time bomb, it's global. And they have lit the fuse, as we document in the Trends Journal, and a great article, by the way, a column by Nomi Prinz, who's renowned for her work, and one of them is All the President's Bankers. And she does a long expose on what the central bankers have done and how it's hurting us and what to expect next. But they've lit the fuse of this time bomb, and it's ready to explode. Again, going back to the economy. And when we look at this current market volatility, the investors or gamblers, as I prefer to call them, they've pulled out already $90 billion out of the global equity funds since the start of this year because they know something's wrong. And that's the fastest pace of retreat since 2011. So clearly, there's panic on the street. On Wall Street. Now, think about this. You see the trading volume on Wall Street and the other markets. They're at very low volume. And remember the merger and acquisition activity and the stock buybacks. They're coming in at $60 billion a month on stock buybacks. So what happens is with mergers and activities and stock buybacks, you borrow money for nothing. The big guys do. Again, in the neo-feudal society, the big guys get the dough for free. But when we borrow, boy, they'll pile on interest rates to any levels that they can. How about these payday loans? Oh, and by the way, all you liberals out there, Jimmy Carter. Yeah, that wonderful peanut farmer. Yeah, peanut brain. This is the guy that began to dismantle the usury laws that were put into place that prohibited banks and all of these scam artists from charging these interest rates. He's also the guy responsible for deregulating the airline industry. When I was a young guy flying back in the 70s, when I began, you know, in the business world, and flying first class, what a treat that was. Wow. Would you like lobster thermidor or prime rib, sir? And they roll out a prime rib and cut it in front of you into what a garbage that's being served today. There were like 150 airlines. So there were competition. There were competition. You try to step it up. When there's no competition, they lower it. But going back to Jimmy Carter and usury and what's going on in the markets and the difference in a neo-feudal society. So the big guys built the markets, equity markets up by borrowing money for nothing. And that's the only barometer that they seem to want to look at these days, is what are the equity markets doing? If the equity markets are doing fine, then the rest of us little people in slave land are also doing well. But now the equity markets aren't doing that good anymore. So let's go back. Trading volume is low. The merger and acquisition activity that boosted the equity markets and the stock buybacks, now that's softened. Now all this is softened despite negative and near zero interest rate climate. So think about it. If the markets are weak now in this money for free environment, what will happen when they raise interest rates? Well, you saw what happened. Go back to December. Tracking trends is an understanding of where we are, how we got here, and where we're going. So we don't have to go back too far. All we have to do is go a little bit back to December. And in December, the Federal Reserve raised interest rates to a grand total of 25 basis points, 0.25%. After not having raised interest rates for nearly 10 years. And look what happened to the equity markets. Remember the panic on the street in January? Oh, that's ancient history, huh? Remember the Dow opened up for the first worst 2 weeks in the history of the Dow in the United States? Freaking out because they raised interest rates a lousy 25 basis points, and that would prohibit the gangsters and the banksters from borrowing money for free, doing their mergers and acquisitions and stock buybacks and gambling sprees. It's going to the casino, borrowing money for nothing and gambling it. End of story. So we saw the panic on the street when they raised interest rates just a little bit. So that's the situation that we have right now, and that's what we're looking at in the markets. And it's global. And you're seeing, again, the volatility. Up 200, down 200 in the Dow. You go around the world, it's the same thing. You go over to Asia. Yeah. Down, Shanghai down 1.28%. Hang Seng down 1.45%. That's a big drop. So you have this volatility because I mentioned the Shanghai Index in China. China is a debt bomb that the fuse has been lit and it is ready to explode. They're pumping in all of the stimulus, trillions of dollars, or trillions of yuan, hundreds of billions of dollars, and it's not doing anything. Because when you look at their export numbers, You look at their import numbers, they're negative. You look at their purchasing manufacturers index. That's a big one, the PMI. It's down. It's in negative territory. So when you have a China with a manufacturing purchasing managers index down in negative territory, despite all of this stimulus that they've pumped into the markets, negative import-export data, markets continue to soften. It's a crisis that the gamblers know that's going on. And that's why they're pulling money out of equity markets. And I mentioned before, I was talking about oil and why the price of oil went up. And I got a little sidetracked talking about what's going on up there in Canada and how there's so little help, real help. I mean, how come, you know, where's NATO on this one? You know, why can't they be sending in planes from all over to put out these fires and save the lives and futures of so many families who have been ruined? But boy, aren't they ready to send planes in and bomb cities into oblivion under the guise that we're going to get ISIS? These clowns still got that Dresden mentality in their minds. Bombing out cities. Who are the victims? The civilians. Sick people running these shows. So anyway, going back to the oil issue. So now we have disruptions up in Canada. And then Venezuela, whoop, place is in chaos. You have economic and political turmoil, and that's added to supply disruptions over there. Iraq, they're bombing oil refineries, places blowing up. Great job you guys did over there, huh? George W. Bush and Tony Blair, Hillary Clinton, and all the rest of you that supported that war. Oh, and don't forget Bernie Sanders. I voted against the Iraq war. Bernie, BS Bernie. You voted for every war funding budget, virtually. You voted for the Afghan war. You co-sponsored the resolution that became the UN resolution that Gaddafi in Libya has to stand down in a no-fly zone. You supported Bill Clinton's murderous Kosovo wars, Yugoslavia's destruction. Bah. Anyway, so you have chaos in Iraq that's hurting oil production, and of course in Libya. And Nigeria, another story. I think we should send troops there to straighten that out. Them rebels are taking control. A totally corrupt country, one of the largest oil producers in Africa, huge population, now in chaos. So what are they doing? Well, there's a 40% decline in Nigeria's oil production following rebel attacks, but of course they'll call them militant attacks. Anybody that fights the rulers in chief, the nobility crooks, you is a militant. Yeah. But when America supports the murderers, them is freedom fighters. Hey, yeah, remember Jimmy Carter? Yeah, the Mujahideen in Afghanistan to fight to get rid of those Russians out of there. Oh, yeah, people forgot that chapter, huh? Continued under Ronald Reagan. The Mujahideen. Yeah, you ever hear that guy Bin Laden? That's them, folks. And now we got to kill them. But they was freedom fighters then. The hypocrisy. What disgusting human beings. So, going back to oil disruptions in Nigeria, so you had rebel attacks on pipelines and oil facilities. And this is at the producing now out of Nigeria at a 22-year low. So that's why you have these disruptions. So it's not a supply and demand issue that's keeping oil prices down or going up. It's disruption issues. And these are temporary, and most of them are going to be fixed. And then when you look at OPEC, the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, they've just increased their production to the highest levels since pre-recession. And now Saudi Arabia, which, by the way, Moody's just downgraded their debt because of their debt rating because of low oil production, low oil prices, and they're increasing debt. Remember, Saudi Arabia needs oil at $100 a barrel to keep even. And now, you know, it's floating around what? You know, 40, 49, 50. Barely below 50. So they're halfway there. So now their debt has been downgraded. So what has Saudi Arabia announced? In 2016, they're going to increase output over 2015. And 2015 was record output of oil from Saudi Arabia. Again, the massive wildfires, the production and economic turmoil in these other countries that's slowing down oil production, that's temporary. And then there's Iran. You know, I follow this all the time. And I remember all the experts coming out when they lifted sanctions off Iran. And I say all of them, I mean everyone that the prostitutes put on CNBC and Bloomberg. It's always the same people, same faces. And they said that, Iran's talking a big story. They're never going to meet their output production projections that they're saying. Well, guess what, folks? Iran has exceeded their output production. So it's now at over 3.6 million barrels per day, according to the International Energy Agency. So there's much more supply than demand. So what I'm saying is that this is going to be temporary. However, a caveat, all things are connected under the global nomic system that we study in trend forecasting. Remember, I mentioned Saudi Arabia, and Saudi Arabia, of course, started that war in Yemen, slaughtering innocent people. America has sent troops there, by the way, in Yemen, to help with the slaughter. Anybody to me that supports Obama, the Democrats, or the Republicans is an accomplice to murder if you support what they're doing. Under Obama administration, over $60 billion worth of armaments have been sold to Saudi Arabia as they're slaughtering these people. And armaments also, by the way, now the United States and Italy are going to be sending more armaments to them. Good rebels over there in Libya, in a total destroyed country, in total chaos, to do more killing. So again, if you give the murderer the weapons to murder, are you an accomplice to the murder? If you agree to give it to them? So unless you're protesting it, you're agreeing. Anyway, going back to the economy, Saudi Arabia, oil, the Middle East is in turmoil. There's Brent crude and there's turmoil. And that's what they're in. The Syrian war, there's no end in sight. America and its Arab League murderous allies and the UK and France and others are demanding that Assad step down. So there's just keep supplying those rebels. I'm mentioning this going back to oil prices, Iraq in turmoil, Afghanistan in turmoil, Libya, Syria, Yemen. Now, also, when you look at the downgrades that I've mentioned with Moody's downgrading Saudi Arabia, Oman, Bahrain, and cutting their debt ratings, now you're going to start seeing civil strife. Oil prices, of course, will spike should this civil strife and major geopolitical conflicts erupt among or within these oil-rich nations. Now, let's go back and make it globalnomic. It's globalnomic because let's come back here in the States. We saw the lousy overall numbers in retail sales. They went up this last shot, but when you look at it, it was very segregated into mostly autos and increases in oil prices. Again, now oil prices have gone up from being at a low of $27 a barrel in January to now near 50. That means the price at the pump is going up. That means the consumer is going to pay more. So let's figure it out. If the consumer was paying less at these rock bottom prices that we haven't seen in years, and now the prices are going up, and it did nothing really to boost the economy, being that the GDP only increased 0.5% in the first quarter. When oil prices go up as they are, it's even going to hit the economy even harder. So, that's globalnomic, making the connections between different fields. So now we have, as we started this off, oil, gold, and equities. I just gave you the hits and the misses. Almost, because I didn't talk enough about gold. And you know, I don't give financial advice. Excuse me. However, on our forecast for gold, gold as we speak is around $1,272 an ounce. Gold prices go up as interest rates go down. They're talking now about the Fed possibly raising interest rates, so gold has softened a bit. Let's make it globalnomic again. I mentioned to you what's going on in other countries. All these emerging markets borrowed trillions and trillions of dollars during the times of quantitative easing and zero interest rate policy. And now as their economies are declining, their currencies are declining with it. And they have to pay back that debt. They have to pay back the debt with dollars. The higher the price of the dollar, the weaker their currency, the bigger their debt burden because they have to pay it back. And their currencies are buying less dollars. That's why the Fed's in a trap. If they raise rates, you're going to see panic on the streets because this has been all inflated with cheap dollars, record low interest rates. Going back to gold, we believe that gold is the ultimate safe haven, and you don't trade it, you buy it. I shouldn't say don't trade it, because again, you know the motto of the Trends Research Institute, the Trends Journal, think for yourself. So, speaking only for myself, I don't trade it, I buy it and put it away for my golden years. And they're golden already. And that's what I do with it. So I put it away and I don't worry about it. So our forecast, of course, and you've heard this before, right now gold has had trouble breaking over that $1,300 an ounce barrier. When it does and strengthens between $1,300 to $1,400 an ounce, and then steadies over $1,400 an ounce, we forecast it's going to break through to the 2,000 mark. Again, all things are connected. And when you look at what's going on with the instability in Brazil, the instability in Venezuela, the wars that are heating up and waging around the world, the oil crisis. You know, it's one bad piece of economic news after another. You have firms going bankrupt by the week, virtually, in the oil industry. Well, you know, when it was booming back in the height of the shale boom, you had these real hot companies that were making, you know, a lot of money and investing very heavily. Now, as the oil prices decline, they have to pay back their debt, and they can't. They're going bankrupt. Who holds the debt? The banks. Why do you think banking profits are so low and under so much pressure? It's global. Goes back to gold. Globalnomics. And as I speak about globalnomics, that's our methodology of tracking trends with the understanding that all things are connected. Or as Chief Seattle is alleged to have said, all things are connected like the blood which unites us all. And I mention this also because, you know, we're having our On-Trendpreneur conference coming up Friday and Saturday, July 22nd and 23rd. And it's globalnomic. Because if you want to see how to prepare for the future, we're going to give you the tips that we and the facts that we've been honing, the skills. I've been doing this since 1980. We're going to pass them on to you. And as I've mentioned, unlike the other trend seminars that we have here in Colonial Kingston, New York, and we're having these sessions at the 1774 Academy. Can you believe that? We're holding them at the 1774 Academy. And of course, Gary Null was here at our last one, and had the people riveted to their seats, along with Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. And you can get that video by going to our website, trendsresearch.com, and you'll see what we do and the depth of knowledge that we pass on. But this one won't be videoed. There won't be a video available, because we'll be putting out and giving proprietary information on how to become an on-trendpreneur. And that's whether you're in business already or have a profession and want to go into new fields, see where yours currently is going to go and where growth opportunities will be. We'll help you with this On-Trendpreneur conference. If you know you're just starting out and you're looking to get into a business or a profession, well, this may help you decide which way to go. The dangers ahead, the opportunities to seize upon, what to avoid, what to look for. So, if this, I have to tell you, this is filling up very fast. And again, people are coming from all over the world. They're coming from Canada, Chile, Ireland, Italy, Hong Kong, California, Arizona, Florida, Tennessee. Of course, the metropolitan area, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Boston. And we have special guests. Yep. If you go to RT, Russia Today, watch the Kaiser Report. Max Kaiser and Stacey Herbert, two of my favorite. They're going to be here. That's right. And they broadcast, by the way, from the UK. And they're going to be up here in Colonial Kingston. And I've been on everybody. I've been on Oprah, The Today Show, Good Morning America. Many times these shows, by the way. Oprah only twice, of course. But those other shows, they used to be on very frequent guests, CNN. Even gone with O'Reilly to Brian Williams. Been on with them all. And there are very few I respect. In the truest sense of the word, of being their own people. And Max Kaiser and Stacey Herbert are two of the people I respect deeply. They're people of their word and their passion. So they're going to be here as well. And this one's going to sell out soon. So if you're interested in registering, I suggest you call Taryn Clark at the Institute, the Trends Research Institute. Our number is 845-331-3500, 845-331-3500. And, of course, we'll provide you with information about the area, help you with your planning. And that's Taryn Clark, 845-331-3500, right here in Colonial Kingston, New York, on Saturday and Friday, July 22nd and 23rd. And it's going to be an on-trendpreneur. We're the only ones to teach this. We're the only people. Could you imagine? Harvard, Princeton, Yale. Yeah, the people that specialize in bullets, bombs, and banks. They don't teach trend forecasting. Virtually no one does around the world. But we're going to be doing that here so you could be ahead of the news, on top of the trends, see and understand history before it happens, seize the opportunities, avoid the dangers, whether you're in a profession that you want to expand, you're not sure the direction it's going in and want to go in a new one, or solidify the one that you're in. Whether you're in a business, your product line is changing. Look what's going on in the retail sector. Department stores are going the way in many ways of newspapers as more and more retail is done online. So, depending upon what business you're in, what profession you're in, what business you want to start, what profession you want to begin, this on-trendpreneur conference will be of great benefit. And again, to register, call Taryn Clark at the Institute, 845-331-3500, right here in Colonial Kingston, yep, at the 1774 Academy. And again, to get a preview, I suggest you go to our website, trendsresearch.com, and you're all Gary Null fans, and you'll see Gary Null at his finest, as he always is, in front of a crowd here that was sitting on the edge of their seats, along with Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, myself. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, of course, is Ronald Reagan's former Assistant Treasury Secretary, saying things about the economy and geopolitics guaranteed you have not heard before. But again, I'm encouraging you to do that because this to see what we do here during our conferences, because this one will not be available. And so the only way you're going to get this proprietary information is to be here and to register again, 831-845-331-3500. So, on to some geopolitics. Oh, how about politics first? Again, as subscribers to the Trends Journal, you know our forecast that we just made. We changed it. And for all you listeners, we'll let you know what it is. And on the geopolitical, on the presidential reality show side, it looks like Donald Trump is going to be in the White House. Again, there's always the wild cards. Nobody can predict the future. There are too many wild cards. But you can see the face of it. And we had forecast that Hillary would win. And you know my campaign 2016 slogan, Trump or Clinton, Hitler or Hitlery. We believed in the beginning that Clinton would win because you and Trump called her out on it early, playing the gender card. And he's a pro at what he does. Of course, I wouldn't vote for him. The only way I would vote for him is if somebody put a gun to my head. Or her. I won't vote for either of them. But he knows what he's doing as the champion reality show expert that he is. He has a proven record of it. So he knows how to play this game. So he attacked her on the gender issue already, saying that she would only get 5% of the vote if she was a man. So now that he's gotten that out of the way, it comes back to the economy. And when you look at the economy and you look at the polls, 9 out of the 10 people, their major concern about what's going on is the economy. And then you hear Trump going around talking about how he's going to put tariffs on China and how terrible NAFTA was. And, of course, that was brought to us by her husband, Bill Clinton. So, and then, of course, Hillary Clinton was for the Trans-Pacific Partnership when she was Secretary of State Clinton. And now, and back then, she said it was golden. And now, of course, she's backtracked, as she always does. There's this video out, by the way, it's making millions of people have seen it, you know, about all the lies she's told and how she backtracks. So Trump is going to trump her on the most important issue. And that is, they used to have a slogan in 1992 and Clinton headquarters, and not to lose focus of it during the campaign strategies. It's the economy, stupid. And that's what it is in 2016. It's the economy, stupid. It's the Trans-Pacific Partnership, stupid. It's NAFTA, stupid. And Trump will not end any of his rallies, speeches, or performances without mentioning the disasters that those regulations and trade pacts have caused. Hillary will get the women vote because Trump has such a high negative rating. And by the way, the New York Times did a story on Trump over this weekend. And I have to tell you, man, what a snow job. And I'm no fan of Trump on his relationship with women. And then one of the women came out and said, it's just total lies that they said. You know, he came on to women. You guys do that. You know, come on, let's get real in this world, huh? You know, people come on to each other. Do transgenders come on to each other? Anyway, it was a real snow job. Trump's private conduct with women. If it's his private conduct with women, why don't you keep it private? Again, this guy to me, you know, is an expression we have in Italian, a caffone. I mean, Trump is a caffone. And I, again, an arrogant guy, born on third base, thought he had a home run, his old man. You go to Wikipedia, his father left him the family, four kids, what, between $250 to $400 million, $350 million. And he's brilliant, yeah. But when you read this piece, and again, the New York Times has been accused of shilling for Hillary or Hitlery. But going back to Trump is not going to get the women vote. So when Obama got 12% more than Romney, and again, some 10 million more women vote than men, Hillary may get 30% more, but that's not going to do enough because this is an electoral process, and Trump will win the Rust Belt states. Again, Trump could throw out wild cards all the time. We're only saying, you know, again, we can't predict what's going to happen. But as it stands now, he wins on the economy. You think they're going to vote for him in Pennsylvania or Ohio or Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, where all these manufacturing jobs have been lost? Down south, she's not going to get the vote. So, she may get Florida. And again, something else is very important. And that is, during this primary process season, Hillary got nearly 300,000 less votes than she did when she ran against Obama back in 2008. But, you know, the other wild card, Who is she going to pick for vice president? I would suggest we are the only people that have forecasted this over 2 months ago, a Clinton-Sanders ticket. Because Sanders will bring in all of those, you know, people that are voting for him because he's promising them, you know, free education and free health care and on and on and on. He's doing the Obama trip that Obama played in 2008. And again, when I just mentioned to you how low her ratings are in terms of voter turnout, oh, she has a 56% negative popularity rating. Sanders will boost both the number of Democrats going back to vote, which they're not doing now for her, and he'll bring in the liberal wing of the party that won't go for her. So that could change the outcome, but still not enough, even if he's her vice presidential candidate. So we see it right now as a Trump in the White House. Who would have believed it? Again, you read our Trends Journal, listen to our Trends in the News broadcasts each weekday night. All the shows I've been on, continue to be on. We've said right from the beginning that Trump would get the nomination. I began my career in politics. That's how I knew that, know this. I used to run political campaigns in Westchester County. I was the assistant to the Secretary of the New York State Senate. Designed and instructed American politics at campaign and campaign technology at St. John's University. So I know this field. And Trump was running against a bunch of nobodies. Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz. There was nobody there. Christie, nobody. And he took out the top guy, Jeb Bush. He knows what he's doing. Again, he's a reality show champion. He demeaned Jeb Bush at the first debate, saying he's a nice guy, but he had no cojones, basically, and that was the end of Jebby. Then he went after Carson. He takes out the top guys. Then he went after little Marco Rubio and then lying Ted Cruz. And again, no one's ever done this before. What also is going to earmark this campaign to make it different than anything we've ever seen in the history of America is violence on a campaign trail. Never have seen that before. No, not the 68 Chicago convention riots. That's different. That wasn't about fights between the two candidates, the Nixons and the Humphreys. It was protests against the Democrats and the war in Vietnam. So this is different. We've never seen violence like this, and it's being accepted as the new normal. So that's where we stand on the election. And again, anything could happen. You know, the wild cards keep flying. But as it stands now, we see it as a definitely as a Trump White House. What will it mean economically? Nah, more of the same. And not much is really going to change here. So, going on to some geopolitical news, I was talking about Obama before. What a fraud. This whitewash story they did in the New York Times. For president, two full terms of fighting wars. Granted, Mr. Obama is leaving far fewer soldiers in harm's way in Afghanistan and Iraq. But Mr. Obama has also approved strikes against terrorist groups in Libya, Pakistan, Somalia, and Yemen for a total of seven countries where his administration has taken military action. I'm reading this whole piece over here, this piece of crap by Mark Landler from the New York Times, the paper of record, the toilet paper of record. And this guy's passing out the toilet paper. What a whitewash job this clown did on Obama. He goes on to say, Mr. Obama had wrestled with the immutable reality of bringing more troops, he's saying, back into Afghanistan from his first year in the White House. when he went for a walk among the tombstones in Arlington National Cemetery before giving the order to send 30,000 additional troops in Afghanistan. Take it easy, Mark. Save your garbage propagandist lines for the morons that believe your crap. Oh, yeah, walking in Arlington Cemetery, that made it all right to send our troops to go kill and get killed. And what did it accomplish, Landler? You little liar, Landler. I can't stand these prostitutes. And I'll tell you why. And I get angry at it because they lead us to war. The New York Times led us to the Iraq War with the lies of Hussein, you know, with them aluminum tubes and them yellow cakes. And he mentions strikes in Libya. Unless I missed this, he never mentioned Obama, Hillary Clinton, Samantha Powers, and Susan Rice leading us to war against a sovereign nation, Libya, the most prosperous nation in Africa, who did nothing against us. A humanitarian mission, they called it, and destroyed the nation. But little Mark Landler didn't mention that. And then there's a puff piece along with it by Michael Schmidt. U.S. combat missions may have ended, but not the fighting. Here's how they phrase this. They're asking questions. Does that mean troops are not in combat, meaning that we have all these troops all over the place? The White House does semantic cartwheels to say neither mission is combat. And they're talking about Afghan and Iraq. In 2014, when Mr. Obama first sent troops back into Iraq, he was unequivocal in his description of the mission. Quote, "I want the American people to understand how this effort will be different from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan," he said. "I will not involve American combat troops fighting in foreign soil," end quote. The White House is stuck to the notion that the troops are not in combat. Pentagon officials roll their eyes at such denial, and the senior officials, including the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, have publicly called it combat. All right, Schmidt. No, the White House is not doing semantic cartwheels. Save your garbage lines for the little kids. Hey, what do you teach? Maybe at a university, you teach prostitute lingo to lie to the people? How about saying the White House overtly lies to the American people and President Obama is a disgrace and a liar? Could you say that? Because you would say that if I said something like that and was caught lying. But you little prostitutes with cojones the size of mothballs, you like to suck down and bow down and play the role of a prostitute and salute your commanders-in-chief and all the other ones you shill for because you're not man enough to call them out. That's right. You go to that correspondence dinner. And here our president yucks it up and makes lame jokes, and you applaud like a bunch of trained seals. You don't have any courage. Why don't you call the president of the United States a liar? The troops are in combat. No, they're doing semantic cartwheels. Where did you learn how to write that line? In journalism 101? To teach you how to lie? Again, if you want to read history before it happens, you'll get it in the Trends Journal. Money back guarantee. We'll put you on top of the trends and ahead of the news. And again, remember our On Trendpreneur conference coming up July 22nd and 23rd, because if you want to stay ahead, if you want to get ahead, you better avoid, I got to read this stuff that I'm reading to you so we could find out the trends of where things are going so we could pass them on to you. But when you read the Trends Journal and you come to our seminars, you get hardcore action plans and strategies to consider with the real facts and not any semantic cartwheels. What a clown to write such a line. And by the way, we launched Occupy Peace here. Gary Nolan is one of the speakers. Congress has not voted to go to war since World War II, and it's their obligation to do so. So again, if you want to get history before it happens, I suggest you consider subscribing to the Trends Journal. And if you can't afford, it's only $99 a year. And if you're out of work having financial problems, just let us know. We'll try to make it available to you at a price you could afford. Call 845-331-3500. Go to our website. You can fill out the form at trendsresearch.com. And again, to register for our upcoming Entrepreneur Conference, Friday and Saturday, July 22nd and 23rd, call 845-331-3500. I mean, I just skimmed what's going on around the world and across the nation. And you can see what's going on. The lies, deceit, the rigging of the markets, the robbing us of our true rights as citizens of this nation and turning it into a slave landia to give everything they want to their buddies. So, there's a lot of good news too, and you can make it happen. Remember, one person of courage makes a majority. Tag, you're it. This is Gerald Celente, and that's Trends This Week. Thanks a lot.